Today, we're going to be moving forward with a sermon series that I began, and it's going to be a long one, folks. And I'm going to be quite honest with you, I have no idea when it's going to end, because it's going to run right through Exodus, right into Deuteronomy, and right through Numbers, and we could be here for the next 2-3 years. I don't know. Each week's going to be different, but you can be guaranteed we're going to march right down through. Just as Israel did, it took them 40 years. I don't think it's going to take us that long. But it took them 40 years to get to where God wanted them to be. And it's my hope that we can get there a whole lot quicker. Amen? I don't have 40 years left. I'd be 90. Well, I might have 40 years left. If you would, turn in your scriptures to the book of Exodus. We're going to be in the 6th chapter, where I started with the children, because that very verse is what we're starting with. Chapter 6, verse 1. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now, as I said, I'm not going to read all the scripture here, because if I read all the scripture that pertains to what I'm going to preach on today, I wouldn't have time to preach. I would simply be reading. So I'm going to read the scriptures that introduce something that you've already read. How many of you have read through the book of Exodus like I asked y'all to? Very good. If you haven't, please do so. From the first verse in the 6th chapter, we read these words, "Thus saith the Lord. Then the Lord God said to Moses, Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh because of my mighty hand. He will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord God. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them." Okay? But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Cana, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. The first thing that I want us to talk about is the reality that God here was going to do something that he had never done before, the people never knew. And in fact, here's these people who now know the name of God. I am who I am. And no one before knew his name. No one before knew his name. He simply told Abraham, I am the Lord God. He told Isaac, I am the God of your father Abraham. He told Jacob, I am the God of your father Abraham and your father Isaac. But now he wants a personal relationship with these people, as we learned the last time we were together. And he gives these people his name. So they're beginning to get to know him. And in this deliverance that God's speaking about, he's going to bring about some things that are going to be terrible for Egypt. And we all know them as the 10 plagues, correct? Well, one of the things that we need to realize is that the 10 plagues were designed in a very particular manner. And that particular manner was to attack every one of the deities within Egypt, all the major deities within Egypt. When God turned the river Nile into blood, he was coming against the Egyptian god, Hapi, who is the god of the Nile. Every morning the Egyptians would go out and pray over the water and sprinkle water back into it and bless the waters and ask Hapi to bless those waters. Why were the waters so important to Egypt? Very simply, without water in the desert, you die. All right? And where these people lived, if the Nile didn't flood, because the land was sand, if the Nile didn't flood, bringing those nutrient-rich dirts down out of the mountains, they had no place to plant, because you can't grow much of anything in sand. So they really needed that water, and they needed it to be healthy, because they needed it to survive. And God showed them, Hapi is not the god of the water. I am the god of the water. In fact, I am the God who can turn this water into blood, that it will be of no use. God didn't stop there. God attacked again. And the second time he brought frogs. Now this is kind of neat, because in Egypt, if you remember the different Egyptian symbols and the way they did things, there was a god of the, his name was Horus, and he had the head of a bull, okay? All these different gods had different kind of heads, okay? Happy had a head of a hippo. Happy, happy hippo. I have no idea what Happy's head was. Because I'd looked at him, I couldn't find it. I just thought that was funny. But this god, the god that came with the frogs, it was a woman. She was the goddess of fertility. And the frogs were actually considered holy things. Why do you think the people were so troubled when all the frogs came up out of the water? It wasn't that there were so many of them that they were, you know, there was a lot of them. Please don't think it wasn't. But it was a reality that they couldn't kill them. They couldn't kill them because the fertility god, and I'm not going to say this right, Heket, had a frog head, and frogs were considered holy. So you couldn't kill them. So therefore, they were everywhere, and they couldn't do anything about them. God said, okay, you want a fertility god? Let me show you a fertility god. I'm going to make so many of these things, you're going to get sick of them. You're going to croak. Don't give up my day job, right? We need to remember all these things were attacks against the gods. The gnats and the lice from the dust was against Jeb, who was the earth god, to show that even the earth, the dust of the earth, belonged to the Lord. The flies, the gadflies, was against, and I cannot say this one, Hephri. It's K-H-E-P-R-I, and that is supposed to be the god of resurrection and the god of sun. And it was kind of amazing because this god had the head of a beetle, okay? And gadflies have a really weird-looking head, so he was coming against this. And then when it came against the cattle and the livestock, that was Hathor and Horus, as I said, the bull-headed god, showing that God's the god over the livestock. And then when he came to the boils, that was Isis, and also Imhotep. Himhotep. It's spelled I-M-H-E, so it's kind of weird to say it, okay? And this is strange, but if you've seen the movie The Mummy, okay, that's actually the guy. He really lived, all right? It's based on a true story, because this guy was a sorcerer and became the god of healing in Egypt, okay? He was also the god of the afterlife. It was really weird. It was just a strange thing. But all of these things, God came against their deities. The locust was against Shedem. This god had a locust head. The darkness was against who? The sun god, their greatest god, Amun-Ra. Okay? And then the final plague was against the god in their presence. Because who is the God of our presence? God himself. But God in the presence of the Egyptians was Pharaoh. So therefore, just as God would eventually give up his firstborn son for our life, so too God took Pharaoh's firstborn son to show that he's no God at all. So when we think about what's going on here, God is going to promise deliverance to these people. But not only is he showing Egypt what's going on, who else is this designed to show what's happening in life? It's designed to show the world that he is God. This is happening in Egypt. Do you think this news wasn't getting out throughout the world, throughout the known world? You better believe that every emissary that came into Egypt that heard about these plagues was going back to their country and telling them what the God of the Hebrews was doing. Not only was God teaching Egypt, God was teaching the world that he is truly God Almighty. There is no other like him, for he is the God of everything. Huh, I think we sung that today. But he was also showing Israel. He was showing Israel that he was God. They knew him through the stories. Okay? I need to ask you a question. Do you get to know God through the stories? Or do you get to know God through what he does in your life? Through your experiences? Through your encounters with a holy creator who's willing to enter into a relationship with you and change things forever? The stories help us because they lead us to something, but lest we experience God ourselves, we truly do not know him. Amen? Because without that knowledge of him in us, that experiential relationship, we truly don't know God. We simply are reading stories. But as soon as we accept those stories as truth and we accept the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ, do you see the parallels here? Do you see the reality of how the New Testament is simply a commentary on the Old Testament? That we've got to get to know the name of God. And in that, he's going to bring things into our lives that are going to affect us in such a way that we are going to be able to experience him in a reality that is going to change us forever. And in that, we will know that he is God. For God promises deliverance. And God is going to bring about those things that he needs to bring about so that we get to know him. Not just us, but the world through us. And isn't that an amazing reality? All the way back at Genesis. I think the Bible says something about Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's nothing new under the sun, and we praise God for it. Because God was going to show himself the way God shows himself. Let's look at verses 6 through 8. From verse 6 in chapter 6, we read these words. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Folks, God wants to free us from the yoke of the Egyptians. What was the yoke of the Egyptians? Slavery. Slavery. God wants to free us from the yoke of slavery as well. God says, I'm going to take you out of that and I'm going to set you out here. Now, for this group of people, we were taken out of something and set out. Have we been set free from the yoke of Egypt? Absolutely not yet. Because though the Israelites left Egypt, what did they take with them? They took everything out of Egypt that they had when they were there. They took all their attitudes, they took all their, I'm going to say these words, please don't be offended by them. They took all their ignorance, they took all their pettiness, they took all their estrangeness from God, because remember, they didn't even know his name. So they had no idea who he was. They were worshiping God however they saw fit. And God was glorified in it because they had no place to worship. They weren't allowed to worship in a proper manner. So however they worshiped was acceptable to God. Each man to his own in his own home. But God did not want that for them, and he still doesn't want that today. God wants us worshiping him in an orderly fashion as it is fit within his word. So again, we have to be released from that yoke of slavery, that slavery of self, that slavery which is ourselves, our sin, our junk, okay? How many of us carry junk? I'll guarantee you in the last week, I have heard about more junk carrying than you would ever believe. And I mean that. Brother Bobby knows exactly what I'm talking about because he and I have been talking, all right? People in this church have been attacked by this, by that, and by the next thing, and it's just amazing to me because those attacks are coming because we're carrying junk. If we didn't have junk to carry, we wouldn't be under attack. If we weren't in the way of Christ, we wouldn't be under attack. Because God is bringing about those things which we need to see Him in, which we need to believe He's God in, which we need to leave behind in the desert, so we can be the people of God, so that we can enter into that relationship and be whole and wholly His. It amazes me when I think about Egypt and just where these people were and understanding that Moses was probably one of the worst ones of the bunch. Would you agree with me on that? Here's a gentleman who was spoiled rotten because his mama sent him down the river and he got picked up by the queen of Egypt. So he went into the palace and he learned all the good things of Egypt. He ate all the fat foods. He went to all the best schools and got everything given to him. Does that sound familiar? It should, because it's us. We've been given the best of the land because God has given it to us through our fathers and our mothers who put their lives on the line, shed their blood, that we would be here today in a free country that we're throwing away because we're spoiled, rotten brats. Do I hear an amen? That's a hard amen, isn't it? But it's a truth. But the reality is there's a better truth coming because we know God loves us so much that He's reaching right down into all that stuff, all that imperfection, because He knows the heart of the matter. He really knows who we are inside and who we can be. And God is going to lift us out of it. God's going to deliver us from Egypt. He wants us to be free from the yoke of Egypt. That is the yoke of slavery, which is sin. And He is going to set us free totally. That means He's going to work in your life on all the aspects that you need to be worked on. And that brings us to our final scripture, and that's verse 9. Okay? Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. Folks, I want you to listen to me, because I know you're not going to listen to me. That's okay, because I don't listen to me either. But you're going to hear it, okay? You're going to hear it, because God is speaking through me, through my life, and I'm experiencing all the same things you people are. I have reported to many of you, and I'm going to say a bad word here. I have reported to many of you that this past week has been a week from hell for Pastor Rich. Because it has been tough. It has been tough. Everything that the Lord could throw at me was thrown at me. All of my insecurities, all of my junk that I've got packed away that you all don't get to see, okay? All of it, not all of it, a lot of it, the Lord opened up and said, oh, let's take a look at this box, and this box, and this box, and this box, and this box. I didn't know how I had that many boxes. And this box. And I've been hearing from some of you that God's been opening your boxes or pushing your buttons or whatever and just stressing you out. I don't know why this is happening. I'm a good person. I believe in Jesus. Well, that's wonderful. If everything's good in your life, you ain't got God. But if things are getting a little antsy, God's getting you. And He wants to get involved because He wants that garbage out of our lives. I want you to think about it. What did He do with Israel? That's why I said, man, I ain't got 40 years. And I don't want to be one of the things left in the desert, okay? I want to get to the promised land. Because God says it's here and it's here today. But we've got to understand, folks, it's not our expectations. It's God's will that we live by. So many times in my life, my expectations, and I run by my expectations, and don't tell me you don't, because you do. It's what you were taught from the day you were born. We spoil our children rotten. They know on their birthday, they're getting birthday gifts. They know on Christmas, they're getting Christmas gifts. They know on these certain days, these certain things are happening, and it's just the way it is. And if it doesn't happen, I'm going to have a temper tantrum. My mom hated taking us to the store, because we knew it was at the store that we got all the good stuff. We got the new stuff. But I learned very early that my mother was a wonderful disciplinary. If you said, "Mom, can I?" She said, "No," you didn't bring it up again. Because whether we were in Hill's department store, because back in York, that's where we all shopped. I don't know if y'all remember Hill's. It would be today's Walmart or Kmart. We'd be in the middle of Hill's department store and say, "Mom, I want." She'd say, "Shut up." "But Mom, whack." And you didn't ask again. Instant discipline. Instant behavior adjustment. You were the most wonderful. "Mom, can I push the cart for you?" "Yes, Mom." And that's exactly what our Father does to us. He knows we have these bad things in our lives. He knows we have these expectations which are unreal, which are unhealthy, and God's going to get rid of them. God says in His Word, "I have a plan for you, declareth the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to give you a future and a hope." That's Jeremiah 29:11. That's my life verse. All right? But we have to remember, who has the plan? God does, and He wants to meet us, and He wants to deliver that plan to us so He can set us free from the yoke of slavery in Egypt. And that's exactly what He will do if we will let Him. If we will submit ourselves to the God of glory, the God of wonder, the God of grace, God is going to meet you, and He's going to meet you in your expectations and give you His will. How many of you want God's will? I know I do, but that means I have to die to myself. I have said this time and time and time again, and I'm going to say it until you are sick of it or you believe it. Salvation is a free gift available to anyone who will receive it. But once you receive salvation, it will cost you everything if you're going to truly walk in it. Because God says in His Word, if you love your life so much as not to shrink away from it, you will surely die. But if you love Me more than life, then you will live. What does He mean by that? We've got to give up our expectations and receive from Him the things He wants us to have. Because then we'll truly be free from the yoke of slavery. We'll truly be free from Egypt. We'll truly be free from all these false gods that we fill our lives with. Remember, Israel brought those false gods with them out into the desert. What was the first thing that they did when they got to Mount Sinai and Moses tarried on the mountain? And I love what Aaron said. "Well, the people were grumbling, and I took a little gold and threw it into the fire, and this calf came out." Yeah. But isn't that what we do in our lives? We take a little bit of something and we throw it out, and then we turn it into this big thing, and all of a sudden there it is. We develop it not even knowing we're developing it. Do you see how Scripture speaks to us in reality of who we are? There is nothing new under the sun. God is everything. And He wants us to change our attitudes. He wants us to come to understand that He is the God of the universe. He is going to deliver us. Who's the deliverer? I am. No, He is. And if He's going to set us free, He's going to set us free in His way, in His time, for His purposes, and those purposes are going to be to our benefit. But the question I need to ask you is this. Are you going to allow Him to be God in your life? Are you going to get to know Him by name? And are you going to allow Him to set you free from the yoke of slavery? Because if you're willing, then the road we're going to walk is going to take you there. Now, I'm not going to tell you right now that I've got the only walk, that this is the only church you're going to find it in, but I will tell you this, walking together, we're going to walk on this word, amen? We're going to teach this word, we're going to stand on this word, we're going to eat this word, we're going to live this word, we're going to become this word as a body of believers, as a community of faith. Because folks, lest we do the very things I just spoke, we will find that we will be left in the desert and we'll never make the promised land. I don't know about you, but I want to be a child of promise. That means I have to let behind my stuff and accept what Dad wants to give me. So today, that's what I ask you. Remember, the things that have been coming at you and the things that are going to come at you in the coming weeks are meant to help you experience God. Don't take them to heart that people hate you. They don't. And even if they do, who cares? God loves you. Amen? And in that, we can truly stand. Would you rise with me and pray this day? Gracious God, our Father, we do come before you as your people. And we know, Lord, that as we move forward, we're going to hear some pretty tough stuff about who you are and who we are and what we need to do. And a lot of it's going to seem fundamental. But Lord, we've been in the church and we think we know it all, but we're not doing what you've asked us to do. We're not submitting where you've asked us to submit. So Lord, today, I pray each person here who's hearing this prayer is in agreement with it. That, Lord, examine my spirit, examine my heart, examine my being, and bring to the forefront all those things. Show me the gods that I have set up over the areas of my life that I need to tear down, and help me to tear down the Asherah poles and to rip apart the Baal mounds, that there would be no gods in my life other than you, submitted to you, wanting your will, desiring your way, that, Lord, in it, our lives would be transformed. And through that transformation, others would truly see the joy, the hope, the fulfillment of life in us, that they would want to be a part of what you're doing. Because, Lord, it's all about you. We just get to go along for the walk until eternity comes in. Then we will fully be with you. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.